God, hallelujah. Welcome to church. You're welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a month of Thanksgiving, and we've been looking at the subject of Thanksgiving. And we've received God's word along this line in time past, and we've been blessed. Glory to God. So today is another time of adding blessing upon blessing. Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our hearts rejoice in you. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for the grace that you have bestowed upon us. Be exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, our hearts are open to receive your word today. We ask that you speak to us by your Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, we're looking at Thanksgiving being God's way of multiplying his people. Amen. God's way of multiplication. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter number 30 and verse 19. Jeremiah chapter number 30 and verse 19. It says, "And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." Glory to God. Now, I learned something years back about Bible study, effective way of studying the Bible. You must learn what is said or is being said. Okay? What exactly is the content of the information that is being passed across? And then number two, you must learn to whom, all right, that word is said, okay, to whom, and then about what, all right, the circumstances, the environment, and then you also have to learn who said it, all right, who said it, because in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we have things that were said by people, not God directly, but inspired by the Holy Spirit to point our attention to something. Praise God. And then there are words in scriptures that are, you know, were inspired directly by the Holy Ghost. Okay? So, who said it? Who said what? And then another thing is that I learned, which I want us to apply in this case, is the fact that you have to understand the cause and effect in scriptures. All right, is there any condition for that promise that has been given, whatever it is, to be fulfilled? Is there any condition for it? Praise God. Okay, I've learned that. For example, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, how many things have become new? All things." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. So the condition here for being a new creature is not, you know, by praying excessively, all right? Just, you know, get into Christ and then you become a new creature. Glory to God. In other words, get born again. That's the condition. So, oh God, please make me a new creature is not a prayer point, all right? It holds no water as far as God is concerned, okay? There's a condition here for becoming a new creature. That is getting saved, okay? So you get born again. Another example here is in Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse 19. Okay? It says, "If ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." Now, it's not a prayer point to, "Oh God, please let me eat the good of the land." You don't have to beg God. The good of the land is already yours. Amen? Now, the condition to enter into that experience of eating the good of the land, enjoying the good of the land, is to be willing and what? Obedient. Simple. Praise God. Very simple. Amen? Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Let me just show you a couple of examples here. When it comes to God's word, you must be very careful. God desires knowledge first before sacrifice. People are too willing to, "What do I do? What do I carry on my head? Where do I run to?" No. God says, understand what I'm saying first. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 and verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That means it is wrong to disobey your parents in the Lord. Amen. Verse 2, look at it. Very clear. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise there? Verse 3. It tells us, it says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So if you want it to be well with you, and for you to live long on the earth, it's not a prayer point. Amen? It's an action point. It's an obedience point. Praise God. Okay? You have to obey your parents in the Lord. You have to honor your father and your mother. Praise God. You know, when God showed me this, I just knew in my heart that I was going to live long. Amen? You can't kill me before my time. Praise God. Death cannot kill me before my time. Because God's word is greater than and superior to death. Amen? Praise God. It says to honor your father and mother. It says it is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you. Well means that you may prosper. And thou mayest live long on earth. So, your father and mother in the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Biological, spiritual. If you don't despise people of honor that God has set over you, yes, there's no offense before you. You live long. Amen? In fact, the enemy doesn't have the right to create anything or bring anything into existence other than what God has already commanded. So if he wants to bring death into existence, it will cause people to go against the word of God that says to honor your father and mother. It will offend you. So you can go against the word of God and create that expectation, that outcome. Did you see it? So the devil doesn't have the power all by himself to create anything. He's not a creator. Amen? All right? God told Adam and Eve in the garden, of all the fruits of the garden you may freely eat, but of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil you must not eat of it. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. It wasn't the devil that told them that. It was God. So he wanted them to die. So he now caused them to go against the word of God. So to create that outcome called death. He couldn't create death all by himself. He doesn't have that power because God had said so. So he wanted them to go against, that's offense. You know, pushing people against God's word. To go against what God has said so that the negative outcomes will be created. Amen? Amen. So it's simple. Find out what God has said. Walk in the light of it. All right? And it shall be well with you. For example, Philippians 4:6. We're coming back to this scripture. All right? God's way of multiplying his people. Thanksgiving. Praise God. But I just want you to see something here. Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. You know, it's possible. When God says something, you know, believe it. That's the reality. Praise God. That means you can be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it says, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth knowledge, all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So peace answers to refusing to be anxious over anything. Amen. And then, you pray and supplicate and give thanks. Praise God. Man, you do the word. Someone says, boy, you don't understand how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like I should. You have to still do the word. Yes, sir. That's the reality we all must come to. You still have to come to God's word. You may not like to come to it now, but you still have to come to it. Because so the earlier you come to it, the better for you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So let's get back to that scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19, it tells us something very profound there. So we see the cause and effect. Okay? The cause and effect there. It says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. It didn't say, let's read the whole verse and then I'll say what I wanted to say. Now, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few, and also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Now, God does not say, I will multiply them and glorify them, and for that, thanksgiving shall proceed out of them. and the voice of them that make merry. No, that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving first. And the voice of them that make merry, right? And then I will multiply them. And they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Okay? So this is God's way of multiplying his people. Thanksgiving must come out of your heart to start with. Amen? And then the effect of that is that God will cause his blessing to rest upon you mightily, and you're multiplied, and then you're glorified. Did you see it? Okay. So that means when it doesn't feel like giving thanks to God, it doesn't look like, you know, God has done anything for you or is doing anything for you. Amen? And you desire multiplication in your life. The Bible tells us that the thing to do is to begin to give thanks to God. Amen? And it has nothing to do with your feelings. It has everything to do with your faith. Amen? Faith. You believe what God has said to you, and then you act upon it by faith. So he says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. Amen? So that means you begin to make merry. You make it. The Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You make merry. You begin to rejoice consciously, deliberately, by faith. And as you begin to rejoice and give thanks to God, the Bible tells us that the effect of that is that God will cause you to multiply, and he will cause you to be glorified. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. So think about it this way. This is much more than an action that you carry out and then an outcome that comes as a result of that action. See it as a lifestyle. Do you know that you can live a life of consistent multiplication? Did you see it? So make it your habit. Make it a lifestyle that you will never murmur or complain. You will always give thanks. So what will happen as a result of that? God will continually, consistently, nonstop, multiply you and glorify you. It will so multiply you that you shall not be few. It will glorify you and you shall not be small. Multiplication there speaks of increase. Glory to God. Number. Did you see it? Glorification speaks of significance, impact, influence. Did you see it? Glory to God. Amen. And he said, amen. You know, don't make God's word like a spare tire of a car. And, you know, spare tires, you may not use them in 2 years. You may not use them in 3 years. Some people have not even used their spare tire in years. All right. That means if you want multiplication, you go and act on God's word. The moment the outcome, you know, is multiplication, you can see the effect. You say, ha, ha, ha. Then you stop rejoicing and you start murmuring. Amen. Now, God's word is more than a tool that he has given to us. God's word is our life. Did you see it? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can set your life. And the setting is thanksgiving, 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 no matter what. Come what may, thanksgiving all the time. Praise God. And then multiplication. No matter what is happening around, you will always go up. You will always increase. Why? Because you have set your path, your course, all right, on the path of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Rejoicing. Praise God. Did you see it? Look at David in Psalm 34 and verse 1. Psalm 34 and verse 1, it says, I'll bless the Lord. How often? Come on, talk to me. How often? You know, when the Bible says to rejoice always, you know, that instruction, sometimes when God gives an instruction, I want to think in my heart that, okay, why did God say to rejoice always? That means there will be moments in your life that you will not feel like rejoicing. So he's telling you ahead. Rejoice always. are you what I'm saying? So that means that sometimes wake up in the morning and you don't even feel like rejoicing. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, always. And again, I say, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. You know, there was a time I was studying the Bible and I found out where God said, you know, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. So I was asking myself, what does God require of us? I said, well, to do justly, to love mercy, and to live humbly before our God. Okay? So what does it mean to do justly? Justice is defined by the word. You understand that justice is defined by standards. True? Uh-huh. So to do justly means to practice the word. To do the word. Did you see it? To do the word. So I found out in God's word that, look, doing the word simply means acting on what God has said. God defines justice. His word is righteousness. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. So we do the word. We practice the word of God. You put the word to work. You put the word to work. Rejoice all the time. David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not murmurings, continually in my mouth. His praise, the praise of God, shall continually be in my mouth. Can you say that? Lift up your right hand, say, in the name of Jesus, I bless the Lord at all times. His praise is continually in my mouth. Amen. Praise God. Okay? You bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in your mouth. Praise God. So, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. Amen. Now, many of us, maybe because of our background, we don't know how to make merry. You know, some people are too serious to enjoy life. They are too serious. Amen. Maybe because we have a lot of businesses going on, people are too business-minded. All right, that they don't know how to enjoy life anymore. Do you know how to make merry? Some people don't even celebrate victories, breakthroughs anymore because they are not where they want to be yet. See? Does not mean you shouldn't celebrate, because if your heart is not joyful, you may not get to where you want to be. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy gives you strength. Now, you had a breakthrough, all right? Someone says, don't celebrate too early. Don't celebrate too early. You know, no, don't celebrate too early. You can celebrate. You should celebrate every time. Amen? Because don't celebrate too early. Don't celebrate too early. 20 years ago, God did something for you. 2 years after, another landmark, a milestone. 3 years after, another milestone. You've not celebrated yet. Even your birthday, you don't celebrate. So when are you going to celebrate? When you see the Lord in glory. Amen. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. A merry heart. A merry heart. Did you see it? All right. So celebrate does not mean you should, you know, get a megaphone and start making noise all around. But celebrate. Celebrate with people that love you. Celebrate with people that you love. Praise God. Celebrate your victories. Yes, sir. Amen. I remember there was a time I was believing God for something. And when the thing happened, amen, I gave special thanksgiving to God in my closet. And then I gave a special thanksgiving seed to God in church. And I took my family out just to celebrate. In fact, some of you in your family, nobody knows that God is good to you. Nobody knows that God has been good to you. You know, you're always very serious. There's always something you're pursuing. There's always something you're eyeing. You're an athlete. You're always running after something. Praise God. Marathon athlete. So nobody knows that God has been good to you. You are so secretive that all your joys are in the holiest of all. Amen. Nothing is in the sanctuary. Nothing is in the holy place for people to share with you. Just at least share in your joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. And for some people, joy is too large. Joy is too loud. Joy is not moderate. Joy is not humble for them. You know, so they are always wearing oblong faces. Amen. See, you have to come to that point in your life that your heart is open to God and you are rejoicing, celebrating your victories per time. Can someone say amen to that? And I took my family out. We celebrated. We gave thanks to God. Praise God. Amen. I remember when something happened. It was something we had been believing God for in the family. And then it happened. I called people, you know, in our close circle of friendship and influence. And we celebrated. Praise God. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. There's a cultural mindset that people have carried over into interpreting the Bible. That if you celebrate too much, people may hinder your life and you may not reach your goal and your destiny. If you look at Joseph, he shared his dream with his brethren and that was why he went into slavery and all that. But that was his place of primary assignment. He was not to be king or prime minister in his father's house. It was because he shared it. That was, you know, God used that sharing to catapult. Though it wasn't pleasant, but you see, he was posted to his place of primary assignment. Are you for what I'm saying here? Uh-huh. You know, for some of us, you are too careful that you don't want trouble. And because you don't want any form of trouble, you're too careful to enter into destiny. Because fulfilling destiny, you have some troubles. So let me tell you the truth. Good troubles, I'm telling you. Some things will happen that will stagger you, and you will start praying the kind of prayers you've not been used to before. You'll be waking up at odd hours. You 1 a.m., your eyes, pa, mako nama namaza, brada, rozodona gria. Normally, you, 6 a.m., you are still rolling to this side, rolling to the other side. Even morning dew. The alarm will ring. When certain things begin to shift, and 1 a.m. you're up, makora dabaha, sana, and God is building you. You are now tough. People now like, this woman of God is so strong. This man of God, he just laughing and say, I didn't want to be this strong, sincerely. But God organized certain things, you know. Amen. Because going by natural trends, many of us may not fulfill destiny. That's the truth. So God will have to organize certain things. Because the love that Joseph had for his father, Jacob, all right, wouldn't even let him leave the house, his father's house. Even his father would not want to release him. Until his father saw him in Egypt, that sorrow was in his heart. He was mourning him daily. Because, you know, he had thought that a wild animal actually, you know, killed him. But it was a lie. Amen? You see? Praise God. So learn to celebrate. I don't mean make noise or screaming all around, go on Facebook. And let me say this for social media. I always say this. Look, if God has called you to a ministry, first and foremost, he's called you as a person. He called Abraham alone. God always calls people alone. That's the truth. And then blessed him. You know, he was speaking, Isaiah 51, he was speaking of Abraham and Sarah. And then he now said, I called him alone. Is it? So before your children grow up to begin to receive a call and enter into the ministry with you, just understand that God has called you alone. Amen? So don't give your children the kind of exposure that God has given you. This kind of exposure God has given you is meant for you. You have grace to maintain it, to sustain it. So when they shoot any arrow at you, you have grace, all right, to be covered, to be shielded. But your children, no. Amen. Some ministers, they put their children on face, social media and all that, if they understand it. Don't expose them. Some of them, they would think it's their fame, whereas their father's fame. So the growth that they should process, they should go through, they will not go through because their father's fame is their fame. And they don't have their father's character to sustain it. You know, there's a minister, I won't mention his name, a great minister of gospel in this country. Is by every standard, he's a billionaire. He's blessed. You know, has a couple of private jets, not from ministry money. God blessed him. Amen. So, one of his sons, well taught, all right, was in London at the time, and he flew, the minister of the gospel flew all the way from Nigeria to London in his own private jet. So, they were to have another convention in Nigeria in the ministry. So his son was to, you know, attend that convention also. So, and he said, are you flying with me? And he said, no. The son said, no. I'm going to take commercial. He said, why? He said, well, I don't want it to get into my head. Amen. Praise God. Amen. There was one. Another son of his was posted in the ministry. All his children are ministers in the ministry, pastors. Was posted to a particular place, very far, you know, to pastor that church. And his father said, should I give you some money? But he said, no, daddy, you've taught us how to get money. You know, that's enough. Amen. Now, let me tell you the truth. If you are still looking forward to having your father's inheritance, houses, landed property, and you're expecting it so badly that you don't even mind that God should call your parents home. Just let them go. At least they are over 70 now. It shows something is out of place. Amen. Amen. I'm talking to somebody there. You know, because for someone like me, my children cannot say, okay, daddy should go home. And I'll go home when I'm satisfied with life. Eh? Yes, I'm going nowhere. Amen. Praise God. Nowhere. I will be satisfied with life. Amen. Praise God. All right. So what we're saying in essence is this. Understand that whatever God has commanded in his word, that is righteousness. That is justice. To do justly means to act on the word, not our feelings. Did you see it?
Yes, sir.
And you see, acting on the word is not like, oh God, place your hand on me and cause me to act on the word. No, God didn't say he will make you to act on his word. All right? He will help you by his spirit. Are you from what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
He will strengthen you by his spirit, but you will do the doing, the acting on the word yourself. Did you see it?
Yes, sir.
Grace is available, but God does not act on his word for us. Okay? And he's not going to violate your will when it comes to acting on the word. You will act on the word by the grace of God, but you will be the one acting on the word for yourself. So you have to train yourself to act on the word. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
You have to practice, you know, and practice and practice and practice. Say, I'm a doer of the word. I can hear you. Say, I'm a doer of the word. All right. I'm a doer of the word. Now, another scripture here in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 22. Jeremiah 33 and verse 22. It says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David. Now, the seed of David here simply means anyone that is born of the spirit of David. The spirit of David is actually the spirit of gratitude, praise, thanksgiving. Amen. It says, I will multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. See? Now, if you want to be multiplied by covenant, every covenant is premised on certain terms. True? If you want to, I love covenant. You know why? Because I don't like things, you know, happening haphazardly in my life. I love consistency. So I love covenant. Anytime God gives a word that he will do something, I say, Lord, what's the covenant back of this? Amen? I love covenant. I'm a covenant man to the core. Praise God. So the covenant of multiplication is consistent praise, a lifestyle of gratitude to God. Amen? No matter what, don't be tempted to say anything contrary, no, or do anything contrary, no. If you mistakenly catch yourself hissing, all right, just make sure that's the first and the last time. Don't do it again. Don't do, and then I don't do it. Amen. Even if there's a situation that I will just quickly organize myself, go somewhere, and lift up my hands. Father, I will always praise you no matter what. And I know you are more than able to handle this. Praise God. Amen. Be a covenant person. A covenant is an agreement you enter into with absolute commitment to your own terms of the agreement. You are just committed. As far as I'm concerned, by your grace, I will always praise you. I will always sing and rejoice. Praise God. That's a covenant. Did you see it? Uh-huh. That's a covenant. So he says here, he says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, and the sand of the seashore measured, he says, so will I multiply the seed of David, all right, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Did you see it? Now, here he's putting the seed of David first, even before the Levites, meaning he has chosen a priesthood in David, all right, by preference to Levi. Did you see it? Ministering unto the Lord. You lift up your hands and give thanks. When things are fine, when things are not fine, you give thanks to God. Amen? And God will always turn that situation around in your favor. Yes, he will. He will. Can you look at Ruth, you know? Ruth was a Moabitess. And she didn't think that she was going to enter into the lineage of Jesus Christ. It was a terrible experience she had at Moab. Lost a husband, lost a father-in-law. The only person she had left was her mother-in-law. But Ruth was a woman who understood commitment. Come on, say commitment. All right. And she said, look, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to stay with you, Naomi. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And she followed her back into the land of Israel. And that was how she met Boaz. You remember Boaz? And she came into, got married to Boaz. She came into the lineage of Jesus Christ. Now, the point here is this. Look, ordinarily, she didn't even have the right as a Gentile woman to come into that flow. But because she understood commitment, come on, say commitment. You see, covenant people, God will always sort you. Supernaturally, he will. They're a covenant person, you know. There are certain offerings God gives, told me to give. And my wife knows, even if the heavens would descend upon the earth, I will give those offerings. Because I am not moved. Amen. I will do covenant first. Praise God. And it's working. See, commit yourself to thanksgiving. And if there's anything this generation must be awakened to, is commitment. You know, in this generation, people don't want to commit to anything. They don't want to commit to anything. And for you to have the blessings of Abraham, like Abraham had it, you have to commit. Abraham was committed to God. You have to commit to a lifestyle in the Word. Commit to the Word. Amen? Yeah. And what are we going to do about this? Are we going to not? We are going to pray about it, and we are going to give thanks. And but what action are we going to take until I hear from heaven? And but what are we doing now? There's nothing we are doing now other than giving thanks to God. We are giving thanks. Amen? You can't put me under pressure. Why? Because you're a covenant man. You lift up your hands and give thanks to God. Amen? And as you are giving thanks to God, do it. See, this is not like they taught us Thanksgiving. You do it for 1 week or 1 month. No. No. It's a lifestyle. Amen? You have to do it consistently. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. When you're committed to that, there will be multiplication. Look at it. You see, it says, I'll multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Praise God. You know, Pastor E. Adeboye was interviewed at the time, and he said something very profound. He said, over 95% of the time of his prayer, he gives thanks to God. Amen? And then he prays 5%. And I looked at people who call themselves pray you. They are not as blessed as the man. Very humble, but the man is man indeed. in no measure, in no regard, can you call him a small man? He's heavy. And he gives, you see him with his tambourine, he's always rejoicing. If you know the amount of problems they bombard him with daily. I mean, as a general myself, having churches in over 190, you know, nations of the earth. That's no problem to manage for a lifetime. And then you always say that somebody just took this church, changed it to his own personal ministry and all that. He will still be doing like this. Father, we declare. Still giving thanks. Someone was asking me, say, but what do you do about it? I said, what's my own there? You know, I'm not as big as Pastor E. Adeboye yet. I'm still on the way. Amen. Now, he can rejoice. There are some certain people, if they can rejoice, just look at them. Then you talk to yourself to that. I can rejoice too. You know, because they have issues, serious problems. But they see, in the midst of it, you know, Pastor, in London, there was this one church, his size is 5,000, and the pastor just took it over and changed the name of the church and put another church there, his own personal ministry and all that. The man is still rejoicing, still giving thanks. What will he do? If you really want to live long, you better change your attitude. Will you carry a problem on your head? What will you do? What can you solve those problems over yourself? Why not go to God and pray and then dance and rejoice and thank him? What will you do? Amen. You know, there was the ministry sponsored, I think, about 10 missionaries from Nigeria to Europe. You know, all the paper, the document, paperwork, everything, documentation, immigration, settled everything, accommodation, feeding, and they just settled for like 1 year in Europe, all right? And all of them disappeared. They said they were not doing anymore. And they went to start their own personal ministries. The ministry is still strong in Europe today. You see, sometimes we say, somebody else, what will you do? Will I be sad because of that? Give me my food. Let me eat. Let me give thanks to God. It's his work. I was called now. I was called to do this thing. So why should I carry it on my head and have a headache? I will just be responsible, do my part, and trust God to handle the rest. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word has given us light and understanding. We give you praise. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we release the spirit of gratitude, the grace of gratitude upon everyone here in the name of Jesus. Begin to give thanks to God as a lifestyle. In Jesus' name. And we declare multiplication is yours and yours alone in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Praise God.